Well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been looking at the topic of Abraham. But bigger than that, we're going through the Old Testament stories, and we're looking to see who is God? What is he like? What is he all about? And how has he worked throughout history with mankind? And so part of this study, if you were here last time, I can kind of fill you in on some of this, but basically, if you're going to turn in your Bibles with me, go to Genesis. We're going to go to chapter 15. This will pick us up where we left off last time. I'm going to see if I can get my slides here to work today. Yep, there we go. Genesis 15, we see God had reiterated his promise to Abram at the time. His name was Abram. We see here, and what was Abram's response last time? It says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. So we see that Abram, if as we'll see for one instance, at least a couple times, and then later on in his life, he's mentioned as a man of faith. But he didn't always quite do the perfect or right thing. Sometimes there were times where he did lean onto his own understanding of situations, his own fears. But he really, he was a man of faith, because when God came to him in a vision and spoke to him, he came back with faith. If you want to go back, we don't have time today. But go back and read Genesis 15:1, and then come down all the way. Let's look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it counted it to him for righteousness. And so we're going to look at this today. What does it mean to be justified by faith? It might not be exactly crystal clear to us here in this passage what all this is alluding to, what all this is foreshadowing, what this is all pointing to. But I want to take some more time this week. We touched on it just briefly last time. But what does it mean to be justified by faith? What does it mean here that it was accounted to him for righteousness, his faith in what God had said? Okay, this promise. And I think our concluding point here today should solidify this for you. But in order to study this better, we want to go to Romans. We want to go to Romans chapter 4. We're going to spend the bulk of our time in Romans today. Romans 4. And we're going to look at verse 1. So Romans 4:1, I'll give you a second to turn there. So here we have the Apostle Paul, and I titled this slide, Flesh versus Faith. Many people will say, well, faith is great, but you also have to do something else. You also have to have some kind of effort, some kind of works of the flesh, some kind of thing besides just believe. Well, you can't just believe. But we have here Paul laying out a case, and he says here, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? So we see the idea here that, okay, according to the heritage, the lineage, according to the flesh, yeah, he's our father. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So it is laying out the case here. Abraham was not justified by his works, the things that he did. Why is this the case? And you'll see this time and time again in the Bible. And hopefully this will sink into you. But it says, if he was justified by works, he would have something himself to glory in. Okay? It wouldn't just be Abram or Abraham pointing to God and giving him the glory for something he couldn't accomplish. No, this would be the case of him saying, look at me, look at what I've done. This glory goes back to being, but no, it goes to God. It says, but not before God in verse 3. For what saith the scripture? And here's the quote: Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, or was counted to, unto him for righteousness. So this is laying out the fact in the context of works versus faith, or flesh, things done in the flesh versus faith. It says Abraham believed. He believed God. And that right there was accounted to him for righteousness. So we see right off the bat, we see a difference between what you do in the flesh and faith, believing what God has said. We know today that we have the completed scripture of the Word of God. The Word of God in our hands, we can read it and see what it says. Abram was getting direction from God, sometimes in a vision, and God speaking to him. But he was getting it nonetheless. He might not have had the full explanation that we have. But when he received that, he believed the Lord. He believed God. And so it was counted to him or credited to his account for righteousness. And it says now in verse 4, skip ahead there. But I want to read this here. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So that leads us right into the next slide here. Is it debt or is it going to be grace? Which would you prefer? Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Something that you had to pay back, right? Something that was not of grace, not freely given, not freely bestowed. We know that the righteousness that is by Jesus Christ, it was paid for by Christ and given to us by grace. We can receive that by grace. Okay? There's no debt for us left to pay. We want to say Christ paid it all. Or you hear the song Jesus paid it all. I mean, that's a great song. We should sing that often or have that kind of thing in our mind. Because, folks, I'll tell you, the idea, the phrase Jesus paid it all, really helps to ward off all kinds of bad theology. And Jesus paid it all. What do I have left to pay? Why should I ever be put willingly subjecting myself to lordship, legalism, bondage of the law, works of the law for righteousness, all these different kind of things? Why should I do that if Christ paid it all? I can go and serve him in love. And later on, as we'll see in Abraham's life with Isaac, we'll see how he lived by faith and he showed his faith by his works. But here we're not there yet. We're still talking about how are you initially justified by faith? Okay? How does this happen? Okay? It's not the person that works. You try to put it this way, if you try to work for your salvation, you will always come up short. There's always a debt to pay because Christ has to perfectly pay it all. Okay? There's no bridging that gap with however much striving you're gonna try to do. Okay? Whatever kind of things you try to tack on, it's not good enough. You're always gonna come short. It's never gonna measure up to God's standard. It has to be perfect righteousness accredited to your account. When he sees that, when he sees what Christ has done, then he sees you as being righteous as Christ is righteous. But let's go on here to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, okay, just like Abraham's, his faith is counted for righteousness. So here, if you can understand this, you can understand more than most people probably in America. As far as understanding this, that I would say the majority of folks, if you were to ask them, could not articulate how this could be. But this is what God's word says. Not the person that works, okay, but, and here's the contrast, but believeth on him. And don't be fooled by those who will say, well, believing is a work and you could be proud that you believe. No. There's time and time again a direct contrast between works and believing. Works that you do and stuff you're trying to do, or putting your faith in somebody else to have done it for you. There's a total difference in that. Okay? One is works, one is trusting someone else by faith, and he's giving you something by grace. And so, but believeth on him, and who is that him? Who is that person? Who justifies the ungodly? It's Christ. Justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So that's you. Anybody here who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, your faith is counted for righteousness. And you're born again, you're a child of God, as we'll see. And some will say, well, wait a minute. No, it's this and that and the other thing, as I've said. Well, as I was doing this study, I realized there's some parallels between Romans 4 and Ephesians 2. Many times we talk about Ephesians 2, and I want you to turn there if you've not already, if you can't read it on the screen. But we're going to look here at Ephesians 2. I mean, it's really a great chapter. If I was going to spend the rest of the year, I could talk about Romans 4 and Ephesians 2, and probably not not run out of things to say. But let's go here. Go ahead in our Bibles to Ephesians 2. Give me a second here to turn there as well. I want to give you a little bit of context to this. And it talks about in Ephesians 2, it goes back to beginning of chapter 2, talking about how he has made us alive or quickened us who were dead. We were dead, and we'll see this today. We're dead in trespasses. We're dead in sins in God's sight. And we walked this way. We were that way. All the lust, all the desires were children of wrath, so to speak. We were dead in sins, but we were quickened together in Christ. And he was going to show the ages to come, show his exceeding riches of grace and his kindness to us through Jesus Christ. That leads us up to verse 8, and it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And it clarifies here, "in that not of yourselves." Just as we saw with Abraham, it wasn't of himself. It wasn't anything he did to where he could be glorying in that thing. No, it's by grace. Okay, totally unmerited, totally undeserved love shown to you by Christ through sacrifice of himself. We're going to look at the communion cup today and the bread, body of Christ. That should remind us of his great love for us, his grace. And it says here, it is the gift of God. So this salvation, this deliverance that he's offered you, what he paid for on that cross, that truly great gift of salvation, is a gift of God. Okay? And it's not of works. Again, it says not, it said not of yourselves, not of works. I think the Bible emphasizes this over and over again throughout the Word of God, because people have a hard time understanding this. I really do believe that. The more and more I talk to different people, even people that have been in church their whole life and should know better, still have some kind of fuzzy ways of adding works back into the equation, front or back, it doesn't matter, before or after conversion. You'll see it there. But it says, no, not of works, lest any man should boast. What? Could Abraham boast? No, it said no, he couldn't. That would take away from what God had done. In verse 10, why? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So we started off talking about this chapter. You were dead, but you're born again, and now you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's where the good works come in. Not for your salvation, but you were created and you have a purpose then to serve the Lord. So this is your responsibility. Still, ultimately, though, your choice to continue to choose to act in faith, and you're going to faithfully do what God's will is for your life, or are you not? It's the same principle continued, just different things are at stake. And it says here, go back to verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is God's will, that we should walk in. People will change this verse around and say, well, you will walk in them, or you will automatically do these things. And they'll twist it all around to actually what the context is saying here. But he's done this so that you should do these things, right? You're created, you have the new man, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you. You have every capability then to not obey the flesh, but no, instead choose to obey and walk in, actually walk in the Spirit. We had this question posed to us a bit ago at the men's study. If you don't come out to the men's study Wednesday nights, every other Wednesday night, please consider that you do so. It's a great time of studying the Word of God, a great time of fellowship. We answered the question about good works. Well, how does that play in? When is it good? When is it bad? All these kind of things. Well, it's a good thing that Christ has, he's desired that for us. God has before ordained we should walk in them. Walk in Christ's footsteps, so to speak. What would Christ do? What would glorify Christ? The one who bought you, the one who is your Savior. Okay? That we should walk in them. But we're not justified by it, and it's not automatic. The person had mentioned there's sometimes preachers or people that say, well, you will do these good works because you're saved. Well, will you do good works because you're saved? When we looked at Abraham's life, did he always do everything perfect because he was saved, or did he make some mistakes? Right? What about David or any other person in the Bible? Did he automatically always do good things? And we see time and time again, no, they're human and they don't always. Even in the New Testament, where they had the indwelling of the Spirit, didn't always do the right things, didn't always say the right things. Okay? It wasn't automatic. But you know what? It was a shame to God when they didn't obey him. And it was a great glory. And it was really gave the correct opinion of God to others when they obeyed him. And we'll look at that next in a few weeks when we look at how works in the Christian life play out and point to God giving him glory. But the idea is you will see fruit, you will see the works when you choose to walk in faith. And that's what Pastor Tyler brought out at the Wednesday meeting. And I can't stress that enough. When you walk in the Spirit, you will produce good works and fruit and all the rest, because you're choosing to abide in the vine, and it's the right way to go. But being a believer itself will not automatically make you do what's right. And you should all know this, right? Because you probably don't have to sit here very long before you can think of a time, even today, this week, last week, or whatever, where you messed up, where you sinned, where you did something wrong. You lost your cool, you lost your temper, you looked at something you shouldn't have looked at, you went somewhere you shouldn't have went. Whatever it was you did, maybe you lashed out in anger, whatever it was, maybe you had a prideful thought even, just something as simple as that. Well, you know you don't always do right, do you? You don't always choose in whatever moment you're in to walk in the Spirit. But we know that we're what? What does it say again? Are we under debt for sin anymore? No, we're under grace. That is taken away. It's under Christ. It's under the blood. Go back to him and deal with it. Get right with God, because you know it's already under the blood. You can move on from that thing. Well, let's go on to the next thing here, because some people are confused on this. But is salvation available to all? Paul thought it was important through the Holy Spirit here to mention this in Romans. Let's go right back to Romans chapter 4. Hopefully you had your finger there. If not, we're going to be going back and forth between these two chapters for the next few minutes here. Romans 4:9 clarifies this. We're going to skip verses 5 through 8. We're going to go on to 9 for sake of time here. But it's clarifying how does this justification come? Okay. Cometh this blessedness upon them the circumcision only? So we have this here, this question, and this would be particularly pertinent to Jewish people or Jewish believers. And the custom was to be circumcised, and that signified you were set apart, you were God's, okay? You could be holy in God's sight. But the heathen, the Gentile, were considered uncircumcised, unholy, apart from God, and all the rest. And it was commonly thought that, well, God's salvation and God's things aren't for these people over here. Right? But this is a very important thing, and this is again why the history of Abraham and his story is so important. It's foundational to Paul bringing this out here, this understanding and this truth. So come this blessedness upon them, upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. So just the Jews that are circumcised or upon everybody? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Was he in circumcision or in uncircumcision? And it answers that question. Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Okay, he was not yet circumcised. He did not yet have that sign, that indication that he is God's. But at that point he believed, right? And that's a pattern, or that should show forth this example that Paul exactly is bringing out here. That God's salvation is not just for a certain group of people, the Jews or Gentiles, but because of faith and faithful Abraham, his faith, anybody who by faith believes Jesus Christ, right, believes God's word, what he's revealed to them, their faith can be counted for righteousness. That salvation then is available to all. And this is the pattern here. Okay, and what does it say here? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, and he received the sign, okay, and it goes on, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Okay, so think about that for just stop for a second. Think about that. I don't know if any of you have heard the song Father Abraham, and it's kind of like a little silly kid song you sing, and you do all these, motions, and you turn around, sit down, and the end, right? But there is actually like a very profound reality to that kind of song. You think a silly thing as a kid, but Father Abraham, and I don't know how many kids sing it, really understand because of his faith. Okay, we're children of Abraham because if we believe, we are like blessed with faithful Abraham. But that's how he can be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. Right? It doesn't matter if you're an uncircumcised Gentile or whoever you are. All of you could be a son of Abraham, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Well, isn't that a great thing? We're not shut out from God's grace, God's mercy, because we're not Jewish. Okay? Don't let anybody tell you that. Let anybody tell you have to become a Jew or do all the Jewish customs. We saw Paul contend with Peter early on in the church, saying, well, okay, don't have these people trying to go about and do the law and all that kind of thing. No, God has opened up the gospel to the Gentiles. And it showed it to you and it illustrated that to you even back in Abraham's day. And it says in verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who also walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So it repeats it again. Okay. In case you missed me the first time I said this, here it is again. Okay. He believed when he was yet uncircumcised. So let's go on to the next thought here. If we understand that salvation is available to all, not just one certain group, then we can understand the next thing. We are one in Christ. As I said before, we're going to be going back and forth today, and I want you to go right back to Ephesians 2. And we're going to move through this. Hopefully we have time today. If not, we'll catch up next week. At Ephesians 2, we went through to verse 10. This time we want to go to verse 11. And this is the same kind of idea here. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles. It started off talking about we were dead in trespasses and sins. You being past Gentiles in the flesh. Okay. Your body, you could tell, you're not Jewish. You're Gentile in the flesh. Who are called uncircumcision. You're unclean, right? By that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Stop and think for a second. Think of this country in the USA. What do you think of illegal aliens and people who are considered criminals and that element, and they come in here and they just make a mess of everything? Do you have a high opinion of them, right? Well, are they well esteemed? Well, there were some in the day where they would consider the Gentiles unclean. There's an adverse element that we don't want mixing with our people. We are alienated. We're aliens in this sense. And it goes on to say, in strangers from the covenants of promise. And so we were on the outside looking in at these promises that God had made to these men, having no hope and without God in the world. So all cast out on the side, on the periphery here. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And there's that phrase, the blood of Christ. And we'll see it, and Pastor Tyler and I are working on this book. We have a book sent off to the printers for a test copy to see how everything looks. But it's coming along. But the blood of Christ is vitally important. It was shed on the cross for our sins. And this takes this whole thing, this whole promise that he made to Abraham. And for us, he reconciled, we'll see, on the cross through his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. But we were far off. We can be made nigh by that. We can receive what he did on the cross. We'll have the communion cup today. Remember, he shed his blood for us. What an awesome thing. We who were outside, okay, brought near because he loved us that much. So we can be one in Christ. Next thing here. We're also heirs through faith. And I'm going to come back to this again at a later slide. But this is very important too. So back again to Romans 4:13. I want you to see this. We're heirs by faith. It's not just that we're justified, we're heirs. 13, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Here's the idea of this law again. So many people, the righteous, the so-called quote-unquote righteous people of Jesus' day and Paul's day, they thought they could be righteous by the law. There are Pharisees and Sadducees and all the rest that thought this way. There are many men today who think this way. But it says not that promise wasn't through the law. It was through the righteousness of faith. It was through that principle. For if they were of the law, be heirs, faith is made void. So it can't be. It's a binary choice. It can't be both. It's one or the other. Okay? If it's law, no, it's debt. If it's grace by faith, all right, that's good. And the promise made none effect. So we don't want to make that promise to Abraham and ultimately to us of none effect. We don't want to try to add to it and therefore nullify it. We don't want to do that. Because the law worketh wrath. Under the law, there's wrath for sin because you didn't perfectly follow the law. And there's consequences. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. So if you're not under the law, but you're under grace, there's no more thing that can be held against you. Christ's blood has covered it all, paid it all. Okay. There's nothing for you to be guilty of if Christ's blood is covering you. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. It can't be the other way. If it said, therefore, it is of works that it might be by your effort or whatever else, well, no, right? It's not that. It's faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham. So if you believe, like I said, it's just as you believing like Abraham believed God. It says, who is the father of us all? Not physically by the flesh here it's speaking, but by faith. It is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Read this in verse 7. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which not be as though they were. And it goes on here. But we want to see that we are heirs of faith. Okay. We're heirs of faith. Abraham is the father of us all. Those blessings that he could receive by faith, we can receive by faith as well. Next thing here, we see that salvation then is for us. Romans 23, we're going to have to skip down there for sake of time. I would love to go through this whole chapter. But in verse 23 it says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. So not just for Abraham, but for us also. Okay. Think about that. Think about the time and place where Abraham lived. Fast forward all the way to Paul's time here speaking here. It's the same. Okay? Not for him, but for us also. And forward into our day today is for us also. Okay? Salvation, the salvation is for us. For us also. To whom it shall be imputed, right? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. I want us to understand this. Jesus Christ, he was delivered for us. He died for us. That means salvation is for us. This promise. Delivered for our offenses, everything even we did wrong. He paid for on that cross. And not only that, he was raised again. What? For our justification, we can be declared righteous just as Christ was declared righteous, okay, in God's sight. He was always righteous in God's sight. And he perfectly died as an innocent on that cross, as the only acceptable substitute, right? On that cross, because he was a righteous person all the way through. But he was raised again for our justification. We serve a living Savior today. He's risen. And so the next thing we see here, Abraham's blessing has come to us. Galatians 3, and I want to look at here, two more slides, this one and another. Galatians 3. I'm going to come back up to Galatians, a different part of Galatians 3, to close. But I want to skip down to verse 11. So 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Remember, he came to that Christ, he died, he's buried, and rose again so that we could be justified. Not by the law, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith. We saw this contrast before, right? But the man that doeth them shall live in them. For Christ hath redeemed us, or bought us back, bought us out of the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. There are people that say Jesus died spiritually and all the rest. No, that's not what happened. But it was considered to be a cursed thing to be hung up on a tree and die that way. in that symbolic kind of sense, he took that for us. He took that punishment. He despised the shame, the Bible says. He endured that cross. He did it all for us out of love. He did that because of his grace. He did that to redeem us. Okay, why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so in that sense, Abraham's blessing and the promise has come to us because of Jesus Christ. We know that people looked forward in faith to Christ, and we know we can look to faith in what Christ has done. Where it be in remembrance of it today. So any questions here? Abraham's blessing has come to us. So Galatians, let's go on down. Galatians 3:29, and it says in that chapter, "And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Here it is. You're of Abraham's seed. Not necessarily physically talking here, talking spiritually speaking. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Right? Mark that down. Underline that verse. Memorize that verse in the Bible. There are many people that say that, "Well, you're a slave. You're this, you're that, and you got to do all these things as like under the law, and God's just this taskmaster to whip you into shape. And if you don't do these things, you're not a true believer. You're not truly saved," and whatever else they want to say. Don't buy that for a second, folks. Because that's not what God's word says. What does it say here? You're not any longer a servant, but a son. Okay? And what do sons get? You look out throughout history of the Bible. Says, well, they inherit what the Father has, right, for them. We're an heir of these treasures, these promises, these riches of God through Christ. Why? Because we're of faith, just as Abraham was of faith. And it's accounted to us for righteousness. We're positionally seated in Christ. So we're blessed with faithful Abraham. If you have believed. If you've not believed, you're still on the outside looking in. You don't have those promises applied to you yet. You have not taken hold of this blessedness. For whatever reason, you've not believed, you've not taken it to be reality in your life. You've not taken God's gift that He so freely offers to all of you. You've not taken it. Let's go back up and we'll close with this thought. Galatians 3:8-9, and it said here, "In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee all nations shall be blessed." Shall all nations be blessed? So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But what does that say here? Notice it says, "Preached before the gospel unto Abraham." I want you to think of that. There's so many people here today that will say, "Well, salvation is a different way. In the Old Testament, they had to be saved by faith plus their works." Excuse me, no, it didn't. Read the story of Abraham again. Read what we just went through again. Romans 4, Ephesians 2. No. It was by grace through faith, and that was a principle started and shown to us even way back then. Okay? But he preached the gospel unto him. He might not have fully understood the whole gist of it like we do now. We have the benefit of seeing through history how this all played out. But the idea was that Christ would come through Abraham's seed. And through him and faith in him, just as Abram had faith in him, we could all be blessed with faithful Abraham. Even though we're of the uncircumcision, so to speak, even though we're Gentiles, even though we are aliens and strangers and lost, and dead in trespasses and sins, didn't matter. Because of Christ, we can be brought nigh to him. Isn't that awesome? I hope it's awesome. That should just thrill you from head to toe. And you should be totally willing to serve God in whatever thing he asks you to do, in this church or anywhere. Okay, in your life, you should be happy and thankful. It's like, look, what did he say to Abraham? Go back to the beginning. Look at the stars in the sky. If you can number them, well, so shall your seed be. Think of all those who will trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And they're partaking of the promise just as Abram took of the promise through faith. And who issues that promise? God does, doesn't he? And I think that's what it comes down to. The promise is as good as the person who offers it, right? And how good is God? Is he ever going to lie to you? Is he ever going to change his mind? Is he ever going to go back on his word? I'll say to you, certainly not. Abraham knew, no. Abraham may have faltered and had different things in his life where he didn't keep his eye on that eternal promise and prize. We can do the same thing in our walk. If we don't keep our eyes tethered to eternity, some will say, looking forward to the promise that one day we will be with him in paradise. Okay. We can stumble. We can do the things in our flesh. We can even glory in the things we've done in our flesh. But think what we're doing when we do that. We're going totally against the whole pattern and principle of God's word. There's not blessing in that. There's blessing, though, in living out our lives through faith. Starts here, though. You have to be a believer today. Folks, I'll close with this one last minute. If you're not a believer today in Jesus Christ, I urge you today, trust Christ as your Savior. He died on the cross for you. He's risen again. Trust him today for your personal salvation. That would just thrill him, thrill the Lord to see that you accept him as Savior. It would thrill all of us. But then if you know Christ, challenge you to walk in faith then. You known faith in Christ, then walk and act in faith, in love for what Christ had done for you. Not because you have to stay saved or maintain your salvation that way, but because you want to. Abraham, he wanted to praise the Lord, and we saw different times how he built altars and he made public declarations to those around him, and he directed honor and glory to the Lord. Will we do that today, whether in this local church assembly or in our lives as we go from here? We'll be like, oh, woe is me, you know, and I'm going to go dwell by myself and feel sorry for myself all week, and oh, the world's so wicked around me, but are you going to do anything about it, right? Are you going to do anything about it? You're blessed with faithful Abraham today if you're saved in Christ. What will you do with that blessedness? What will you do with that promise? I challenge you with that today.